Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this special live broadcast of the Anthony Johnson Show. Election Day. I'm sure a lot of people have gone out and voted. That's record numbers. So if you haven't voted yet, you still have roughly 2 hours. I know here in Philly, you got about 2 more hours. So if you haven't done it yet, go out and vote. It is really, really, really important. You know, it's interesting. The last time I did a show on a day of a presidential election was in 2012 when it was Obama and Mitt Romney. So I didn't do it last year. I don't know why. You know, I just didn't do it, you know. But here we are again, 4 years later, and my, oh my, how fast time flies. It may not feel like it, but it really has. And these two candidates are polarized opposites. But before I kind of get in touch with that, talk about that a little bit. You know, I've been hearing a lot of people walk around talking about, you know, voting doesn't mean anything. They're all the same, blah, 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 .com. You know, if you can't vote for yourself, then think about all of those individuals that came before you, those who actually were murdered, particularly people of African descent. African Americans were murdered for trying to vote. And here's this wonderful luxury for you to have, and you give every excuse in the book as to why voting doesn't matter. It does matter. More than 90 million people didn't vote in 4 years ago, back in 2016. And what happened was, is you had a guy who was unfit to be president. You have a guy who was unfit. I mean, here's a guy who went bankrupt 6 times of his own company. Why on God's green earth did anybody believe that this guy would make a good president? Seriously. It just didn't make any sense. And yet here in 2016, he became president. People say, oh, well, he didn't win by much. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Okay, if popular votes actually meant something, great. But it didn't say, oh, she won the popular vote, therefore she declared the winner. We still do the Electoral College, and you need 270. He got 270. She didn't. And what has happened in the last 4 years? You know, people keep talking about, particularly his supporters, as well as not just his supporters, but people who are kind of like not really sure who they were going to vote for. But they said things like, well, before Corona, he was doing a good job. No, actually, he wasn't. He wasn't doing a good job. He basically was the caretaker of a good economy that President Obama left. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what defines a president as either great or terrible. There is no gray areas. It is black and white. You see, a president is defined great by how they handle crisis. You know, when you think about a massive crisis, you think about the Great Depression and how Roosevelt was able to, over time, bring about economic prosperity after the country was mired in an economic depression from roughly 1929 till about 1940. And a president that came before Roosevelt, his name was Herbert Hoover. And Herbert Hoover was the president at the time when America's economy was booming, the Roaring Twenties. So roughly from about 1920, you know, till about from 1920 to 1929, the economy was booming, doing very well. And Herbert Hoover was a part of that. But then the Depression came, and no matter what he did, the policy failed, and the country stayed in that economic depression. Now, Herbert Hoover is not considered one of the greatest presidents. Why? Because of his handling of the Great Depression. And Roosevelt rolled up his sleeves, came in with the right people, and over time, it didn't happen overnight. It took a long while, as I said. He became president in 1932, so you know it was about 8 years before he finally got us out. And then the war, World War II, catapulted America to the industrial giant that it ultimately became. So here's the same thing with Donald Trump. People love saying, oh, well, before the coronavirus, everything was going well. Let's say for an argument that that's the case. Let's say, okay, the economy was going well. 3.7 unemployment, the stock market was doing well, even though 86% of Americans don't give a rat's behind about it because we don't get anything from it. You know, when those guys on Wall Street are giving out big bonuses, I don't know about you, but I've never gotten a check in the mail saying, hey, Anthony, stock market's been doing well. We just thought we wanted to give you a piece of this pie. Have fun with it, and we'll see you next quarter. No. So what happened was, the pandemic came, and instead of tackling it the way he should have, he gave excuse after excuse after excuse. It's going to disappear. It's going to disappear when it gets hot. Then when it got hot and it didn't disappear, or it'll disappear when it gets cold. We're rounding the turn. We don't really have a control over this, so we're just going to wait for the vaccines. But you should still elect me. So he failed. This election truly is a referendum on COVID-19 and the failures of Donald Trump. He's failed. And then you factor in the anger and hate that we see as a result of this man. Sane people cannot say that this man deserves another 4 years. People with fifth grade intelligence should know that this man does not deserve a second term. He's been asked multiple times leading up to the day, you know, in the second term, what are you going to do to address? Oh, well, we're just going to keep doing what we're going to do, get the stock market. There is no initiative. There is no initiative to take us to the next level because he was never prepared to be president. I still say the night he won, he was shocked and a little bit disappointed because, and then he's even said it in past a rally where he said that, you know, he really didn't want to be president. And he said, oh, this is a lot of work. I didn't know being a president was so much work. So, yeah, he knew. He got all the exposure that he wanted, but he didn't want to be president. But luck just have it that people despised Hillary Clinton so much that they were willing to defer to an individual who couldn't lead a food fight rather than take her with all her wealth of experience and, yes, some baggage. And this is where we are today. Our country is torn apart. And the President of the United States can use the presidency as a bully pulpit. Theodore Roosevelt was a master at it. And he said it. He said the president can use his position as a bully pulpit to get things across to America. Mm-hmm. And if Trump had done that, if Trump had got out there in front of the cameras every day and told people, put a damn mask on, put that mask on. I'm the president of the United States. I got one on. You got what? Got to wear one. Governors, tell your people to put it on. Well, Republican governments, tell your people to put those masks on. We wouldn't see spikes in the COVID cases and deaths as I'm speaking had he done that. So he did not take advantage of the president to bring people together. He used it for ill-gotten gains. He used it to line his pockets and his friends and family's pockets drain a swamp. What is that? When I hear people say drain the swamp, hey, I'm going to go to Washington and drain the swamp. He doesn't even know what it is. He reminds me of a child that repeats things that they either see on TV or they are sitting around adults and they're repeating something that an adult said. They have, as a child, they have no understanding what it is. And he reflects that. People don't want to believe that this guy's a racist. He's a racist. He comes from races. His father was a racist. And yet people still saw fit to vote for him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I am a progressive. I am an independent. And Biden was definitely not my pick. Senator Harris was not my pick. I liked some of the stuff that she's about. But overall, I wanted to see a Bernie Sanders and a Dr. Rice as presidential candidate. But you know what? They didn't win. So I had to sit down and continue to do my research and say, you know, what do I identify with them? And the one number one thing struck out was normalcy. Normalcy. We need to return this country to normalcy because it is completely off its axis. We're supposed to be the greatest nation on earth, yet voter suppression is still generally accepted in this country. I mean, today I got a phone call telling me that I needed to go to one polling place, and when I went there, they said, oh, no, you can't, this is not your polling place. So I had to go to the one that I normally went to. But you're doing, elected officials and their supporters are engaging in this type of behavior, telling people not to vote. Don't go outside because the COVID is now materialized into a human being and is walking around and grabbing people. Stay inside, scaring people. And sadly, people are doing, they're not coming out. Now, the great thing is at the time of this election, more than 102 million people had already voted, early voted. So that says a lot. But don't get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. Just as many Democrats have gone out to vote, Republicans are voting too. Because in this country, you find a lot of people that love Donald Trump. Not because he's intelligent, which he isn't. Not because he's a compassionate person, because he isn't. They like him because he allows them to run rampant. He allows them to explore their fantasies of hate and bigotry in this country. I mean, just think of what happened, you know, with the Trump supporters blocking traffic, keeping people from getting in and out to go vote or go home or go shopping, and then surrounding a Biden bus on the highway, which could have caused all types of accidents. This shows the lack of basic human compassion. And to those individuals, you're not patriots, like the coward and a sycophant that you call president. You're the lowest common denominator of a species pretending to be human. And you may say, well, damn, Anthony, that's pretty harsh. But no, it's not. Think about a loved one driving on those highways and these individuals are blocking traffic. God forbid somebody needed to get to the hospital because they're hurt. We can't have this. And then it is embraced by the most powerful position in the world, which is the presidency. If this man had any scruples, he would have stood up and said, unacceptable. You can't be down with Trump if you're going to be out there doing that. I can't ride with that. I can't co-sign to that. That's foolishness. And if the FBI finds out who you are, I give them, I say, get you. get prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law, because that's unacceptable. Instead, this man is calling them patriots. Patriots! So they're thinking, yeah, we are patriots. So we're going to continue to act this way because the president said we can. A lot of people in this country call themselves true Americans. I'm a patriot and all that foolish talk, but know very, very little about American history. You hear people out here talking about, yeah, I want America needs a civil war. Really? You really want that? And you know why they want it? Because they don't know what it is. They really don't know what it is. They sat down and read what the Civil War was about. 2% of the population had died. More than 600,000 people. That Tennessee, after the war, spent more, their budget was spent mostly on getting prosthetic arms and legs for their men than anything else that they needed. They think that this is going to be fun, entertaining. Oh, a civil war, just what we need. And once again, they look to their leader. They say, well, you know, Trump supports what we're doing. He supports us, you know, shooting people, holding up traffic, damn near running a Biden bus off the road because there is no law that will prosecute us. So why not have a civil war? Let me tell you something for those who think this civil war is going to happen. All of you guys are going to go first. So the Trumps and his family and his children, they're not going. They're not going to be out there warring with you. They're not going to take up a gun. They're going to take up a bat or a bottle and fight. Trump is going to be in a bunker somewhere along with his children. While you and your children were probably injured, and in many instances, dead. For what? Biden and Senator Harris are normalcy. 4 years of craziness, we have to stop it. And the wonderful thing is, it's in our power to do just that. We can do it. I don't want to be, you know, hyperbole when you know, people say vote or die. Okay, that's a little over the top. I think Puff Daddy said it, and I think a couple of other people out there said vote or die. That's a little much. They're going to die. But your country's going to be drastically changed. And all those things I said about this president, all these horrific things that he's done, imagine winning a second time. A former White House a staff member said that after he left, there are still people that work for the White House that said that we don't like and support what he does, but, you know, we got to eat. I got to eat, B. And said if he wins a second time, the gloves are coming off. Plus, it's a lame duck 4 years. So he's not going to, he's going to really do stuff that, and no one's going to hold him accountable. And we, the people, will have no one else to blame but ourselves. See, the people who believe in Trump, they're going to vote for him. So I'm not sitting here trying to convince them, oh, well, you should go to Biden, Senator Harris route. No, they've already made up their mind. Like, as I said earlier, they make him feel, I mean, he makes them and they make him feel empowered. He gives them the green light to do these horrible things that they've been doing. Can you imagine if Black Lives Matter members had done that, held up traffic, followed a Trump bus, almost running it off the road? Can you imagine? They would be called, Black Lives Matter would be called, all the representative would have been called everything except their birth name, and definitely terrorists. You think Trump would have said, oh, those are patriots? No, I said, those terrorists. So we're still living in two Americas. And what Trump did, he bought it out. He, you know, I've always talked about the two Americas. And Trump bought it out. He made it possible for these people to act this way. And people have said, well, Anthony, they're saying about 10% of black people are going to go out and vote for Trump. What do you have to say about that? Nothing. History has always shown that black people will vote, you know, for somebody that you kind of scratch your head at. Reagan did very well with the black vote. He did very well. I'm not sitting here saying he got 30, 40, 50%, but he did pretty good. John McCain got about 8 to 10% of the vote. But I can understand what McCain, because friends of mine who did vote for McCain said, you know what, I like Obama, but I think he's green. I don't think he would be ready if it came down to, you know, our adversaries like, you know, Russia. I think he'll fold. John McCain was a war hero, numerous years as a senator, knew how to get things done, worked across party lines, which he's supposed to be doing anyway for the good of the country. So that I never give senators or elected officials credit for that. But they said, that's why I'm going with him. You know, if Obama had a few more years in him, then I'd be ready to go with him. But I got to go with McCain. I understand that. But what's your rationale for voting for Trump? We have already debunked something that a third grader debunked, that he has not done more for black people than Abe Lincoln. He has not done more for black people than what Ulysses S. Grant did with Reconstruction. He has not done more than what Lyndon Johnson did for black people with the Voters' Rights, the Civil Rights, and the Housing Acts. But this is, goes back to what I said earlier. Most Americans know very little about American history. As I talked a few weeks ago about what he's done for black people, when he talked about that, he said, well, unemployment has been at its lowest. Yeah. But most of those jobs that black people have are low-wage jobs, meaning that they're not livable. They're not livable wages. These people aren't making $15, $16, $20, $25 an hour. They're making $7, $8, $9, and $10. You can't feed a family on that. You can't pay your rent and your mortgage on that. You can't pay a car note to get you back and forth to work with that. You can't do anything with that. Aren't you tired of the lies? Or have you become so jaded that, well, they all lie, Anthony? I mean, they all lie. My parents used to tell us, we don't like you lying. But boy, if you're going to lie to us, it better damn well be a good one. It better be the type of lie where we got to become Columbo. We got to, you know, it's going to take us 2 hours, you know, when Columbo would come on regular TV back in the 70s. You know, even in the 90s, you know, because it was on television, it takes about 2 hours for them to solve the case. My parents were like, it better take us a couple of hours to solve it. Because if we can solve it in a matter of seconds or a matter of minutes, you're in a lot of trouble. Because it's not that you lied to us, it's that you told a stupid lie that we can debunk. And this is the type of lies that this man has been telling for 4 years. Trump has been telling lies that have been debunkable for the last 4 years, that third grader, and in some instances, kindergartners can debunk. Are you not tired of that? We are the laughing stock of the world. We can't even go to other countries now because of the pandemic. So that means before the countries in Europe clamp down again, because they start seeing spikes in their countries, say, oh, shut it down. Shut it down. Residents, citizens, I should say, you're fine. We got you covered. We got you covered. Don't worry about it. If you need to be in the house, you need to be in the house. No congregating. Don't worry about the food and all that money and stuff. You're going to get that every month till we get this thing caught up, until we get a grasp on it and get it out of our systems once and for all. this president and his minions, oh, it's time to go back to school. Oh, it's time to go back to work. We're about to turn a corner with this pandemic. We've been turning a corner since March. Aren't you tired now? Aren't you ready for some peace? Aren't you ready for some normalcy? Don't you deserve it? Don't your family deserve it? Ladies and gentlemen, we have, you know, the strength of humans is nothing to sneeze at. Because here in America, we've had to deal with two viruses, COVID-19 and Donald Trump. And we have weathered this storm. And I'm proud that we have. And as we come to an end with this presidential election for this cycle, as I said, as I started the show off, if you haven't voted yet, go out and vote. If you don't want to do it for you, do it for your family. If you can't do it for your family, do it for those who sacrificed their lives so we could have this wonderful privilege. In your hands, my dissatisfied citizens, is the noble task to bring about a change that's long overdue. Let us have peace. Let us have civility, and let us return to normalcy, because we all have it within us to do the right thing. America needs you. America deserves you. Vote. Good night.